There are so many opportunities in life, but equally, so many risks we face, which cause us to ask questions of ourselves. Why am I doing this? What will people think? Who do I even think I am? Welcome to the GBC Sermon Podcast, a weekly message from Guymyr Baptist Church in Sydney, Australia. I'm Jodine, the Associate Pastor for Mission and Evangelism at GBC, and I hope that you hear the invitation of the Holy Spirit as you listen to this message. We are a community of faith that are passionate about people hearing and responding to the invitation of God, whatever age or stage you're at in life, and to join in God's mission to renew everything in Jesus. Today, we invite you to step out of your comfort zone and into the courage zone. This is a place that requires us to be wholehearted, vulnerable, and show up. It's generally not convenient, it's never comfortable, and maybe even requires you to swim against the cultural tide.
The Bible reading tonight is from Mark 14, verse 1 to 9. Now the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were scheming to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the festival, they said, or the people may riot. While he was in Bethany reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them at any time you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured the perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her.
Well, good evening, guys. How are you going? A lot of familiar faces here and a lot of new faces as well. So good to have you here tonight. Love having you in the house. And I hope that God really speaks to you in some shape or form. A number of years ago, I used to live in Adelaide, interstate. And one night I was blissfully drifting off to sleep and I was snug and content and having a great uninterrupted rest. I had my own house and the neighbourhood was quite quiet, so you could always be assured of a pretty good sleep. So here I was, deep in sleep, we're getting ready for work tomorrow. But then for some reason my senses just started to come to, like just sort of waking up. And as I opened my eyes, I could just sort of hear something, and as I listened, I'm like, that's voices yelling. Okay. And I could hear banging as well. And at this point, I'm thinking, okay, this warrants a little bit more investigation. So up I jump and wander up to the Venetians, the wooden Venetians in my house, and do this thing. You know, try not to make the curtain move, but you just like got just an eye on the whole scene, what's going on out there. And as I look out there, I see a guy running with a baseball bat and just like, yelling and screaming and just smashing stuff. And I think, wow, this is not normal. And then I see a woman come towards him and she's trying to talk to him and kind of diffuse the situation. And at this point, I realize it's actually my neighbors from next door. And so I'm thinking, right, what do I do with this? And so I thought, God, what do I do? And I sensed that God, through his Holy Spirit, said to me, go, if you can hear that on the microphone. And I'm like, no, I'm not gonna go. And then it was a sense of like, no, you need to go. And so after some kind of thinking and sort of negotiating with myself, I'm like, this is dangerous, I could get hurt. I'm like, this could escalate. I thought, nah, I can't let this go. You know, I feel I would regret the moment if I didn't kind of act on that. So here I am, scraping up some 2 a.m. courage and putting on my dressing gown and tying up, you know, like a little kid. And I went out into this sort of area out the front. So I unlocked the door and my heart is just like pounding out of my chest as I'm going out. I turn the lights on and kind of wander out my dressing gown, like ready to just go full ninja if I needed to, but not really knowing what to do. And as they saw me, it kind of diffused the situation because it was like, what are you doing here? I'm like, what are you guys doing out here? And we were able to sort of calm him down, and it almost like kind of interrupted the situation. And we were able to sort of stop the emotional spiral that was happening and get him back on inside. Later on, the next day, I heard, because the neighbours came over later that night with a bunch of flowers and said, "Thank you, sorry about last night." But they said to me they believed that his drink got spiked. They'd been out that night and they thought the drink got spiked because he went to hospital, and they found some sort of traces and stuff in his bloodstream to sort of explain why he was just going ham. And so it was like, wow, okay, random moment in life. And honestly, I would have rather avoided it and just kept sleeping. And there's definitely times and places where you don't get involved. But I just could not deny the prompting of God in that moment. And crazily enough, as I said, I would have regretted not responding. And so it was good, you know, after all that, it kind of worked out. It was a great moment where we sort of connected. You know, they were still alive, I was still alive, I still had all my teeth in my mouth, and my letterbox was not damaged, which I was really stoked about. When you're a homeowner, you get it a little bit kind of like that. But have you ever experienced random moments with God where you've been invited to step out in courage, something that's going to take more than your skills and your own capacity, and something that maybe is unplanned or something that you may be scared of or have no control over the outcome? However, you're still invited to go. I think courage in life in general is challenging enough. Like, for example, if you're starting a new job or going to a new school and you're kind of rocking up and you're like, don't really know anyone, you're not familiar with the surroundings, that takes courage to step up to those situations. Maybe when you've got some food in a cafe and they put it down and you start moving it around, you're like, uncooked, unclean. And then you've got to kind of go, excuse me, it's not cooked. And there's almost like this Australian culture thing where it's like you're in the wrong for even saying something like that. So the courage that is required to get over the line, does anyone feel that? Couple of people, good on you. Or maybe it's telling people that are closest to us what we actually need, what we genuinely feel about something, because sometimes we need the courage to say those things in spite of how others may respond to us. Or maybe it's just getting the courage to take a stand for something or for someone. I think if you're human and you're here tonight and you've made it in life this far, you've had to embrace courage at some point in time. The root word for courage is cur, and it's a Latin word that means heart. And in one of its earliest forms, courage meant to speak one's mind by telling all one's heart. So in those moments of courage, our whole heart shows up. It's almost like we bust our chest open and go, here's my courage, here's my heart, and back again. Often we associate courage with kind of mighty, heroic acts and brave deeds. However, it seems that a wholehearted conviction, an inner heart conviction, is actually what motivates and enables that action. Courage calls us to embrace vulnerability, risk, ambiguity, and emotional exposure. It's our choice to actually show up with our whole heart, irrespective of fear, irrespective of what people think of us. It tends to actually kind of call us out of our comfort zone, and it's never convenient. It can mean sacrifice of our own time, money, resources, and even put our own reputation at risk. And then we also have to overcome our own internal voices of self-doubt, fear, and second-guessing. Should I do this? What am I thinking? Who am I? And it may mean standing in the face of ridicule and criticism, and it often means going against the prevailing tide of culture. And through this series, we're looking at how we hear the invitation of God throughout our lives, and tonight we're considering how we can listen to God and respond with courage. So in the story that we read tonight in Mark 14, it's actually getting to the pointy end of the gospel narratives where things are starting to heat up. The religious leaders are getting angrier and angrier because they feel like they're losing power and control. And Jesus is building this mob of followers. And the religious leaders go, right, we've got to knock this guy off. Nice response, nice religious response there. And the region was buzzing because it was the festival of the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. And that was something that was practiced for hundreds of years, and it was only days away. It was kind of like, you know, the closest thing that we have is Christmas. You know the vibe? You just, everyone's on Christmas mode, and the only difference is, like, we have Mariah Carey playing in the background. They probably had something else. But, you know, you just know when it's Christmas because there's this buzz. So there's this buzz because of these festivals that were coming up. And Jesus, too, is preparing himself not only for his death, but explaining his impending death to his followers, which most of the time they kind of don't get it. And for his followers, it was becoming riskier to be seen with Jesus because the authorities were after him. So at the moment, it's an emotional pressure cooker of beliefs, agendas, and some people were responding in strange and wonderful ways, revealing some of their inner heart motivations for this situation. And in this mounting tension around us, we're transported into this really intimate moment, a moment where they're in the middle of a dinner at Simon the leper's house. Can you imagine being called that? Oh, this is Simon. He's a leper. Thanks for writing that down. And we're told in John chapter 12 that this dinner was actually to honour Jesus. And from the account in the same story in Matthew 26, the dinner involves a number of people sitting around a table and also includes his disciples. And then a woman came to Jesus with an alabaster jar of expensive perfume made of nard, something we probably don't use or have even known what it is, but it actually came from northern India. And because eBay and same-day shipping isn't around back in those days, you can imagine how expensive it was to get that nard from northern India. And she pours this perfume, she breaks the jar and she pours it on his head and then on his feet and then gets her hair and then just gives that a bit of a wipe around on the feet. And this explosive smell of nard goes out through the house so that everyone can obviously see it and they can smell it. And this hair thing that she's doing, it wasn't the Jewish custom that women actually kind of let down their hair in public, which is something that we don't really notice because our kind of rules for hair is like, just brush it and wash it every now and then. Like, that's probably the lowest common denominator we have. But for a Jewish culture, women didn't kind of bring their hair down, let alone get on the ground and just give that thing a clean up. You can imagine if you were having a drink after the service at dinner tonight and you're sort of just like, oh, sorry, spilled some. And I'm like, it's all right, I got it. I'm getting down on my knees and like, like, how awkward would you feel? How awkward do I look? And how terrified does everyone else around me thinking like, what the heck is going on? And while I could wipe up a small oil spill with this hair, it is really close quarters to get up in someone's grill that close and be doing the hair thing. And if you've got short hair, you're just going to be like, just wiping that thing, trying to mop it up. But you obviously had to be really comfortable with someone and love them to be that kind of close and kind of be doing that kind of stuff in public. And while this woman is unnamed in Mark chapter 14, in other accounts in the gospel, she's actually revealed as Mary. And that's Mary, the sister of Martha. Mary, also the sister of Lazarus, who Jesus raised from the dead after 4 days. 4 days of being dead. This story raises a whole lot of questions for me. I'm sure it probably does for you as well. And it equally leaves a lot of things unanswered. Firstly, why does she do this? How is she not put off by the judgment of people in the room, especially when they were opposed to her so openly and verbally kind of abused her for what she was doing? Did she worry if Jesus was actually going to reject her? Was it kind of like a too soon moment where Jesus is like, Mary, like, back off. I was talking about dying and now you're like anointing me for burial? Like, far out, give a guy a break. I'm not even dead yet. And while Jesus understood her actions to be preparing him for burial, was that even what she intended? Or did she do that and then she heard what he said and then she's like, what he said, that's what I was doing. But Jesus said what she did was beautiful. But more strikingly, he says that wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. That's some big stakes, right? And of all the things that you think would gain notoriety and worthy of a mention wherever the gospel is preached, in the world, do you think it would be this thing? This thing? Would you think it would be something that's more heroic, or maybe something more miraculous, or even a little bit more magical? And I've heard lots of talks about the gospel, and you always hear stories about the disciples, or Paul, or Moses, or David, kind of the, you know, the big names. But rarely, if ever, have I heard anything mentioned about this woman. Ironically, the book of Mark, which we read from, doesn't even mention her name. We heard about Simon the leper, but how can you forget his leprosy? But the woman that Jesus said, remember her for all time, you know, tell it every time the gospel's preached. Mark's like, what was her name? Forgot that detail. And even more strange is that we're probably quicker to remember her sister, Martha. We remember her for the one day she had a little bit of a meltdown when she was busy and distracted and caught up in everything that had to be done. And then getting up in Jesus' grill and saying, I'm busting my gut over here, Jesus. Tell my sister to do something. Jodine paraphrase version there. To which Jesus responds, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are indeed, few things are needed, or indeed only one. And I can imagine Martha at this point thinking, are you even kidding me, Jesus? You bring all your friends and all your disciples over here. This meal ain't even going to make itself. But Jesus goes on to say, Mary has chosen what is better and will not be taken, and it will not be taken away from her. So what is this incredible one thing that Mary was doing which would not be taken away from her? In Luke chapter 10, in verse 39, it says that Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. That's the magic show. That's the miracle. And my guess was that Mary wasn't around Jesus as much as the disciples were, but she just had this uncanny determination that whenever she was, that she would hang on to everything that he said. And she seemed to pick up things and kind of connect the dots that the disciples didn't. In fact, both Martha and Mary are some switched on sisters. If you have a look at John chapter 11 and chapter 12, you see that they are mixing it with Jesus in their understanding and comprehension and asking him questions and pushing back and kind of rallying with him, kind of like dueling banjos with Jesus on the spiritual stuff. It's mind-blowing to see these women getting a grasp of God's new economy, new ecology, and not only hearing Jesus' words, but living them out as well. And Mary seems to have this courageous audacity to listen at all costs, to shut out distractions, to stay fixed on listening to Jesus. And through that deepening connection of relationship, it actually breeds confidence and courage for her to step out, even so boldly as to go and anoint him. And while for us as followers of Jesus, we don't have Jesus here in person, we experience God through the Bible and through his Holy Spirit, and even amongst us here as a community of faith. But I reckon half the battle is just taking the time to show up and listen. Listening to Jesus seems like this whimsical and wonderful kind of obvious thing that everyone that follows Jesus should just naturally and automatically do. But a lot of the times it's just so hard to do because it's counterintuitive to our culture. We're like always so busy and things are going on. There's so much to do. And you go to sit down and have some time with God. You're like, right, got 30 minutes, going to have a cup of tea with God, got my journal, got my Bible, got all my bits and pieces, my highlighters, my gel pens, and my Ugg boots on, and, you know, my dressing gown, whatever, you know, mood music, whatever you're into, a candle. And you get there, and then next minute, 30 minutes later, you have bought a bike on eBay that you didn't know you needed, you've cleaned your house, you've baked a cake, and you've invited three friends over for afternoon tea. Because we just get so distracted so easily. It's hard to switch off from all the distractions around us that constantly demand our attention, the internal chatter in our own head, the voices around us demanding our time and attention. And it's almost easier to busy ourselves with the stuff of even God. And we end up distracted, and before we know it, we've drifted back into the comfort zone, into convenience, into cultural compliance, and even complacency, otherwise known as meh. I think listening to God can take courage because it takes us out of our comfort zone. We doubt what we hear. It can feel confusing and maybe even paralyzing. And then there's the fear of, if I go to listen to God, what if he doesn't say something and I am just stuck in silence? Our tendency can be to panic and fill in the blanks and do something, because enduring that silence can be painful. And when there's so many worthy causes we can commit our time to, it can be easy to go, that's a good idea, I should do that. But are we listening to see if it's actually a God idea? If we're not patient and not willing to listen and be on God's timeline, it's easy to get jumped in and distracted by so many things. In the Old Testament, there's a lot of stories and phrases that says, be courageous, be strong, and do not fear. And the times that courage grows is when people are hearing God's word and he sends them out and they are just hanging on to that thing, despite of the circumstances around them. It kind of keeps them from being discouraged because that word becomes the baseline, regardless of the situation and what they see in front of them. And I think Mary, she embraced courage because she wholeheartedly put herself out there. I mean, can you imagine you doing that if you saw Jesus, to be like, I've got the little jar, just gonna, you know, even to do it amongst us as friends and family here, it would be awkward. It takes a lot of guts and a lot of courage to do that. But she put herself out there with full vulnerability and emotional availability, and she took the risk for Jesus to have him meet the needs of her heart. She let go of the safe edge of the pool and swam out into the deep. And I think it's in those zero gravity moments where we're just like, can't grab onto anything, that we actually really meet Jesus in our heart. A meeting that is powerful, and you can't help but overflow in extravagant ways of love. I think many of us are going through big transitions and changes or adjustments in our life. Things that can be gut-wrenching or heartbreaking or even mind-bending because we just can't put all the bricks together. And sometimes it can be really overwhelming. And if ever there is a time that we need courage, it's through these times. When everything might be falling apart around us, the shifting or changing things that are all going on, having God's word as our foundation and shelter is the strength that gets us through. Especially in a world where there's now so much criticism and contempt for each other. How refreshing is it to see someone who steps out in courage wholeheartedly? And while we remember Martha's example and identify with her so readily, Jesus said to remember Mary's example and her willingness to listen and to be brave and to step out in courage and do a beautiful thing that should be spoken of and remembered wherever the gospel is preached. So as a faith community, Mark, our senior pastor, has called us to pray together in the next several months, and we'll be hearing more about that. And that is to help us navigate these uncharted waters and the future ahead of us. And we're working this out in light of a very much changing world around us, and we're really looking to hear the whisper of the Holy Spirit, so that we know where we're heading, not only as a community together, but in the world around us. And there is just so much change going on at the moment, right? Just everything, technologically, mentally, emotionally, there's just so much change, not only on a national, but a global and even personal scale. And I can guarantee that the only constant through all this will be change. Things are gonna keep changing, and we're all gonna be out of our comfort zones. And we're all going to lose some of the convenience and things that we like and enjoy, or the way things used to be. But God's kingdom is a kingdom of courage. because it calls us to do things that are not comfortable, things that are not convenient, and live beyond the standard of culture, like loving our neighbours, loving our enemies, caring for the marginalised and those that are unlike us. So how can we put this into practice? I think sometimes the best way is to do small increments of change where you don't even notice them, because then you're going to stick with them a bit longer. So maybe part of it is actually just spending time showing up and allowing God to speak to us. If you've never spent any time listening to God, maybe it's just a matter of getting your phone, putting 5 minutes or 10 minutes, just sitting in a chair where you haven't got distractions around you, and just sitting and listening and going, God, please speak to me. And maybe writing down anything, any impressions or senses that you get, or Bible verses or anything that God speaks to you with. Maybe it's about being intentional with our attention. Making, you know, with social media, it's just so easy to just be like, oh, I haven't got any time, I'm so busy. And next minute, you're like 2 hours, just like, and then you're like, what? It's like 1 o'clock in the morning? How did that even happen? So easy, right? Maybe it's just about being conscious about what we consume and where we channel our attention. Put those timers on the social media. Get rid of the accounts that make you fear or feed narratives in you that take away what God's words of courage and what you are born to live in is depleting you from. Does it feed your fears more than your courage? Get some courage accounts on your media, social media, if that's what you're into. And maybe it's even taking a few minutes after a service just to consolidate what God has spoken to you about, what God has put on your heart, and just taking that into your day throughout the rest of the week. Part of it is actually just exercising that spiritual muscle. And the more that we actually practice the listening, the more comfortable and the easier it will get. Maybe God's already given you direction or a word or Bible verses that we need to remind ourselves of, to put in our heart and go, all right, I've got to bank that and start trusting in that. And it may also mean bringing some of our wholehearted, vulnerable moments, things that we're like, I don't know what to do with this. I'm overwhelmed. I don't know the next step. Maybe we need to come to those with God and be vulnerable and courageous with our whole hearts. I think for me personally, over the past year, it's just been, it's been a really hard year. That's probably putting it nicely. It's been disorienting. Sometimes I haven't known which way is up. There's just so much to take in and I haven't been able to process it all. And that just puts you in a state of kind of constant anxiety and sort of like, oh, how do I do this? But if there's anything that brings you closer to God, it's times like that, when you're out of your comfort zone, all that stuff I was saying. And it was interesting because several years ago, when I was praying for the season ahead, God gave me this terrific verse out of Job. You know where this is going to go, don't you? Job 13:15, and it says, though he slay me, yet I will hope in him. Put that on your fridge and put a sunshine behind it, like a sunrise. Though he slay me, yet I will hope. But gosh, it has made sense for this season when I'm feeling like I'm getting slayed and not in a good way. You know, we're like, slay girl, slay. It's like, I'm getting slayed. But though he slay me, yet I will hope in him. And it's crazy. It's almost like the amount of pressure that has been on me has broken like the stumps of dysfunction that I'm like hanging on to, going, this is going to work for me. I can do this. And God's like, nah, we're going to get rid of this. And it's been a season, like Nicole said, an autumn of just stripping back to a bare tree. But the crazy thing is that I have to do it in front of everyone here. Like, hey, everyone, welcome to church. And I'm like, meltdown on the inside. Though he slay me, yet I will hope. Look at my branches. It has been a hard season and you're kind of verging on the skirting on the thing. I'm like, I'm breaking through. And you're like, no, I'm breaking down, I'm breaking through. And the car's like skidding out of control, just about to go on the ditch. I'm like, I'm having a breakdown. But in all the crush and my desperation to hear God has got so much more intense. It's been a super painful process, but a good one that stripped me and made me more open to God in a way that I couldn't have imagined. And it's freed me of cages and prisons that I was shackled to that I did not even know existed. Super painful, but super powerful. and courage to keep going in that direction towards the Holy Spirit, I think, is the only thing that has kept me there. There's a Polynesian form of navigation called wayfinding, and it's a practice where Polynesian people, when they travel together, they orient themselves in vast and unfamiliar physical spaces, and they navigate place to place by the patterns that they see in nature, from the stars, from the currents, from the temperature of the water, from the wind, from the seasons. And they are highly attuned to this technique, and it gave me the ability to read the subtleties of the seasons and the environment. And it helped them travel to uncharted land thousands of miles away that no one even knew about. And not only was it a wild adventure for them, but it actually kept them sustained by giving them life-giving resources. And they mastered the practice of wayfinding when most people were probably scared to even just leave the shore in a ramshackle little canoe with a sail. But you can never cross the ocean until you have lost sight of the shore. And Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And we're going to need courage to navigate the rough and frightening and exciting seas that are ahead of us all as a community. God invites me to courage, and as scary as that can be, God invites us all to courage, to listen, to lean in, and respond to his words. And by stepping out on some of these simple words, it can be like hopping into a small boat and having God take us where we need to go. So my question to you is, whatever God is calling you to, are you willing to get on board? Are you willing to lose sight of the shore and embrace courage? And be willing not only to take the next faithful step, but the next courageous step. Our music team are going to give us an opportunity to respond with some awesome beats to kind of get our groove on and worship and sing out and respond to God. And we're also going to have our prayer team available. If you want to pray about something in particular, maybe something that's overwhelming you, maybe something that you're super stoked and excited about, or maybe you just want some prayer, whatever it is, our prayer team's available for all of you to engage with and have some of those moments. So can I pray for us, and then we'll stand and we'll sing and respond with some songs. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your great love, which carries us, gives us comfort, and gives us hope. We pray that whatever we're all going through, whatever stages or seasons we might be experiencing, that you would show us the way forward in courage, that you would make us wholehearted people that can walk together in your great love. And it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.
It's always inspiring to see people that choose courage, and we all have the opportunity to do that in small ways in our everyday life. And if we can find space to do it in our day-to-day, it will start to develop as a way of life. Through courage, we can find unimagined places of peace, connection to ourselves, our community, and even God, if we're brave enough to take that next courageous step. What is something in your life where maybe courage is the antidote for fear? What circumstance calls out to you to take your next courageous step? Whatever it is, I'm cheering you on. We'd love to hear your stories of courage, and you can find us at guymeabaptist.org.au, or you can follow us on Facebook or Instagram. Thanks for listening.